views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, asking, how you doing? You fine? Doing all right? Really? Yeah? Have you had a good past few days? Or are you just surviving? Oh, yeah, to survive. That's all that's needed, right? Survive the storm. If you come across some rough waves, just ride them out, as they always say. Of course, Club ADHD, the podcast, is supported by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, and they also support the other two aspects of Club ADHD, the Facebook page and the Twitter account. Club ADHD is for us. We, the people, the adults with ADHD. Now, I realize some of you might be saying, hey, Russ, where have you been? You haven't uploaded a podcast in a while. I'm going crazy. I don't know what to... Well, I can dream, can't I? But yeah, that's right. I haven't uploaded a podcast in a while. And as a result, I'm further behind. But I have an excuse, a valid excuse. And I'll get to that excuse in just a few moments. But first, I want to tell you this. I hope this edition, this introduction of this edition, is going to go well. Because I've already done it before. That's right, it's take two. You see, because I've fallen so far behind, I thought I have to maximize my time. Now, each weekday, I go to pick up my grandson at his school, my six-year-old grandson. I take him to school as well. And I do it in my minivan. That's right, I have a minivan. So there I was earlier today, sitting in the parking lot. I was there early. And I thought, how am I going to maximize my time? I could lollygag. Boy, that's an old-fashioned phrase, huh? Lollygag. I could waste my time or do something productive. And I thought, productive it is. I've got to get these podcasts done. So I will do the introduction for this podcast right now as I sit in my minivan in the parking lot of my grandson's school. And how will I do this? Well, I have a smartphone. Yes, it's called a smartphone, but it often makes me feel dumb, but it's still a smartphone. Where's the rim shot? I'll do it on that. It has a microphone. It has an app, a recording app. It will maximize my time. Now, I realize the quality won't be as snappy when you compare me doing this in the studio here with all this expensive equipment. And yeah, it is expensive. Trust me, it is expensive. But I will maximize my time by recording this introduction on my smartphone. And that's what I did. And I thought, well, the content was pretty good. But for some reason, I was rubbing up against my windbreaker or something. It just didn't set well with me. Not to say that I'm a perfectionist, but it was a little grating. I think I could have pulled it off. If only I didn't rub the microphone portion of the smartphone against my windbreaker somehow. Just making an annoying noise. In any case, I tried. There I was, inside the minivan, with the window down because it's a nice day today. It's sunny. It's actually spring-like. Surprise, surprise. In the Toronto area, we've been having a lot of rain. So there I was, waiting, maximizing my time, thinking that, oh, I'll have some bonus fun because there'll be other people around me wondering what's going on. Hey, what's this I'm hearing? A podcast for ADHD. This is really interesting. Sign me up. Where do I go? That's what I was thinking. Nah, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, hey, if somebody hears me doing this preamble, they'll say, what's he doing? What's going on? What? There's something going on in there. There's something going on. In other words, causing havoc. And that's what I specialize in. No, that didn't happen either. I'll tell you the real truth. The real truth, there was nobody around me. The odd car went by. That was it. It was just me, myself, and I in the parking lot in my minivan. There were other vehicles next to me, but no one was in them. It's a big pickup truck. I was wondering, I've seen this pickup truck in this parking lot. Was it a teacher? What makes a teacher buy such a big pickup truck? It was one of those hefty ones, you know? I don't know. To each his own. What made me purchase a minivan? I don't know. In any case, it didn't go well, so here is take two. And I hope it goes well. Now, here's the reason why I wasn't able to upload podcasts. I've been hit with some kind of bug. And I'm not talking a spider, ant, or fly. I'm talking about a flu bug of maximized proportion. It was maximized. Yeah, I was victimized. I was criticized. I was eyes this. Oh, I'm getting carried away. I'm still coming out of it. Trying to come out of it. As best I can. But I was knocked for a loop. Just down for the count. Not sick to my stomach, but everything was just, I just felt for a number of days. 12 days and counting. And I'm coming out of it. There was a time there I couldn't do anything. And that time was to do the podcast. So that's why I couldn't do it. And that's why I might sound a little different. My voice is still a little bit off a bit. But I've been checked out. And the doc says, okay, I don't see anything totally wrong aside from the normal things. So just carry on. And that's what I'll do. I'll carry on. But as I say to my grandson, I'm not exactly feeling tip-top. Sorry. However, in amongst this physical storm, I was able to garner enough strength to do my duty on a Tuesday night. And that was Little League Baseball. No, I don't play it. My grandson plays it. I might have told you about this story before. I'll tell you quickly again. For the past few years, I've been the assistant coach for my grandson's baseball team. Last year and the year before, it was T-ball. Now it's first pitch. No tees, toss the ball. And I signed up again, and I get this notice. Please attend the coaches' meeting on this day. Went out to all the coaches in the league, so I showed up. I was the only coach there from our team. Now, every team should have two assistant coaches and a head coach. I discovered our team did not have that. Our team had three assistant coaches, and none of the other assistant coaches were at the meeting. And as I was picking up our team's paperwork, the people from the league looked at me and said, "Your team doesn't have a head coach. No head coach. No head coach. No head coach." And that's when it happened. I swallowed the bait. Our team now had a head coach. And that head coach is me. Now I'm the head coach. And with it comes a whole bunch of responsibility, which is sort of ironic because I have donated my time in various sporting activities, one of which is badminton, and even to the international level, very involved. And I'm trying to get myself out of those things and maybe focus on something a little more productive when it comes to making money. Did I say that? Oh, an ADHD person wanting to make more money. That's a surprise. Can you relate? In any case, there I am. Or here I am, I should say. The head coach. And with it comes a whole bunch of stuff. Equipment. I'm carting that around. And I got badminton equipment in my minivan. That's why I have a minivan, because I'm carting around a lot of stuff. With a capital stuff. That's right. And, you know, I'm not really complaining. I'll do anything for my grandson. My grandson, he is my buddy. He's the son I never had. And we're together a lot. So I'll do whatever it takes. My grandson does not deserve to be on a team without a head coach. So I'm the head coach. And got the security check, the police check, cleared. Thank goodness. I don't think I have any warrants out. I don't think I've robbed any banks. I don't think. It's a good thing it didn't factor in traffic tickets. Might be in trouble. I haven't had one of those in a while. Knock on whatever this is. And I hope I don't have any. Yeah, I have to contact the parents. I have to keep them up to date. I have to watch their kids. It's all just great fun. Sarcastically, it's a challenge. Now, I look at this team and I'm seeing them play. And, you know, I have to start out the night with these drills that I have to come up with and instruct the assistant coaches. And then we play a game, loosely, I call it a game. We don't keep score. And as I'm looking at this team, great bunch of little kids, but it did remind me of something. The team reminds me of an ADHD brain, and here's why. On the team, we have a few kids who have a handle on what to do. I mean, they're only 6 and 7 years old. They have an idea what to do, and they can catch a ball and throw it and take instruction, and they got a feeling for it. They enjoy it. They're focused. A couple of those. And I'm happy to report my grandson is one of them. As he said that proudly. And then there are a few kids who sort of have a handle on it, kind of. You have to instruct them. You have to guide them. But, you know, they'll take instruction, you know, and they'll get it. And then there are the other kids. The kids who are new to the game and somehow get disinterested. They're more interested in the sand located within the infield as opposed to playing on that infield and getting a ground ball in their glove. They're more apt to sit down and let the sand run through their fingers. And it's up to me to get them motivated and say, hey, come on, let's have some fun. Watch. And then there's a guy like me and the assistant coaches trying to get things working. And at times that can be easier said than done, especially if things get really exciting. Someone hits a ball at a certain place, then all hell breaks loose. And we just do our best to do our best, not always succeeding. And that's how I associate it with an ADHD brain. It's kind of like that, right? We know what we have to do. Sometimes we do it. Sometimes we're totally out of focus. Sometimes we have to have somebody else wrangle us. And that's how I looked at it, combining Little League baseball and an ADHD brain. There you have it. So in the middle of this storm of a flu, I did muster up the energy to go out and coach not one but two games. Now, I don't know where I got the strength to do this, but I got it from somewhere. And maybe we can do the same thing when it comes to our own ADHD if we're struggling and thinking that, oh, all hope is lost. Maybe somewhere within us we can find the strength to carry on and to succeed. That's what I did. Then I went home, flaked out on the couch, and couldn't get up for another 2 days. But last night was pretty good. I didn't have any assistant coaches last night. One phoned at the last minute. His kid was sick. And then the other assistant coach, he told me he couldn't make it. But God love them, they rounded up some substitutes, and they helped out. But the kids played great. I was asking him, what have you kids been eating? We've actually made some outs. Never been able to do that. So there is hope. There is hope for our team, and there is hope for our ADHD. That's what I've been up to. Now let's talk about this podcast. This is one of several that will be uploaded this week. Fingers crossed. We are not going to have an interview, as we usually do, for this podcast. But don't despair, we will have something to replace it. Several podcasts ago, actually last year, I told you about an initiative being conducted by CADAC. They help us with this, of course, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. They support the podcast. God love them. Toss a .ca in there, visit their website. Great people. And if you visit their website, you'll see something called ADHD Speaks. That's what it's called, ADHD Speaks. As I had mentioned to you earlier, it's a form, well, it's a way that we all can tell our stories. And we'll put them all together to create one big story, right? We send in our stories, 60 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever. Use our smartphone. That's right, point it towards us. Do a video selfie. And just say what it's like to have ADHD or what it's like to be affected by ADHD. Maybe your parents have it, your kids, whomever. You have it. And we want to gather all those stories together. Now, if you're a little shy and you don't want to show your face, you can video from the neck down. Or you can send us an audio file when it comes to your story. Audio file. I remember that's what they called us back in the days when we loved stereos. But again, I'm getting off track. Or you can simply use pen and paper. Remember them? I think they still exist as I hold up my pencil. That's right. I have a pencil and paper. Boy, do I have papers. And they're all over the place. You can write things down, your story down, or type them. Whatever. Use your typewriter. I was going to say typewriter. No, use your computer or tablet, whatever, and send them in. How do you send them in? Go to clubadhd.ca, hit ADHD Speaks. It'll explain the whole deal. Now, I think it's such a worthy cause because we can use this as ammunition when it comes to addressing people of power who don't quite get the whole ADHD thing. Maybe someone in politics, maybe someone scholastically. And it's easy for us to say, well, there are a number of us, and here's what we suffer through. Yeah, that's good when it comes from one individual. But it's even better when you can say, hey, I've got all these people and all their stories behind me. And you can click on YouTube, and you can check it out. Some stories are happy. Some are not so happy, yet productive. Some aren't productive. Some are downright sad. Covers the gamut. What better way to tell our story than to tell our story? Real people who are living this story, this ADHD trip. Yeah, that's the ticket. We'll call it a trip with no ending. And that's what I did. I took some of those stories. Obviously, I'm not taking the video portion of it, but the audio portion of these videos, and I'll play it. I'll play some for you. Let you listen to them. Evaluate how they might tie in with your life. Can you, identify with any of these stories? Maybe you can utilize some of these stories. Maybe they might inspire you to send us your story. So that's what we're going to do in lieu of an interview. I think it'll work out. Then again, I'm biased. So there you have it. That's what we're going to do. I hope things are going well for you. As for me, as I said, I'm coming out of this flu thing and I'm feeling better every day. And that's what we should be doing too. If you're a little down or a lot down when it comes to your ADHD, just fight it, man. Oh, I'm full of cliches. At least I think that's what I'm full of. Hey. No cheap shots from the balcony, please. All right. Let's get to the stories, please. You're listening to Club ADHD, the podcast. We start things off with Julie's story.
Hello, I wanted to send in an audio clip. I tried to do a video, but I kept on getting choked up, so I figured this would probably be best. So, I grew up with learning disability. They tried to put me on medication and stuff and put me in special classes, and my mom chose not to go that route, and so did I. I did test out lots of different options, but they never challenged me, and I knew that I was smart and capable, but no one was able to teach me. So basically, I've been tested my whole life, trying to figure out what's going on with me, how can we get this girl to learn. I've been labeled, lazy and fidgety, childish, not listening, does she have eye problems, does she have hearing problems, what is wrong with her, saying that my IQ is really low. So all these sorts of things that have been said and how people viewed me definitely left me with a stigma that I've been fighting to chip away those views that other people had on myself and that I had on myself as well. Because obviously, I didn't think I was capable of doing anything. And after a while, you just kind of give up. And it doesn't matter how positive your mom is or the people that you have in your life. If you don't believe it, then you're just not going to believe it, right? So I'm 40 and I have a daughter who also has ADHD and she's on medication right now. I thought that maybe if I took that route that maybe her life would be a little bit easier. But unfortunately, it's not. You know, it's just something that helps her just a little bit. It doesn't fix everything. So I've been fighting the school system since she was in kindergarten. We saw the signs that apparently she was displaying similar things that I did when I was her age. So I've been really having meetings with the school a couple times a year, trying to get things in place for her education. No matter how hard I fought to make things fall into place, I'm still not getting the support that I need for her. It's extremely frustrating. As a mother, I think the school system is massively flawed. Everybody just blames that there's no funding, which is just a bunch of excuses. There doesn't seem to be anybody creating any action plans. I've thought about becoming an advocate for kids because it's ridiculous. I don't think people understand that if you don't help people right from the beginning, right from the get-go, say like kindergarten, they're never going to catch up. Because it doesn't matter if you keep a kid behind or whatever, you're never going to catch up. Because it's the way your brain takes in information. That information won't go in the way it does, like for other people, you know? So I think people just don't understand that kids need to be supported right away, immediately, because they need to learn the tools on how to work with what they have. No medication is going to fix that. You need to learn those tools. And it's really frustrating. The education system, basically I feel like it's failed us. You know, I'll keep on fighting, but right now I'm paying out of my own pocket because the school can't. I don't even know why she goes to school, to be honest. I don't know what they teach her. I'm pretty upset.
And the tough thing about it is to hear it in her voice. And what makes it even tougher is the fact that Julie isn't alone. That's why we have to band together collectively to make one big voice, to make a difference, to make a change, so that people like Julie don't have to go through what they're going through. And now let's change gears. People in the entertainment business are often said to be, well, different. How different? Well, from what I see, there are a lot of people in that industry who have ADHD. Some know it, many don't. It's just their creative ability. You can see it. We have that extra sense. And when you talk to these people off stage, you can really tell that, well, there's some ADHD going on in that mind. As I said, there are some people who do know that they have ADHD. And a comedian by the name of Taz is one of them.
Hey everybody, it's Big Daddy Taz. You know, living with ADD when I was a kid, attention deficit disorder, I guess we're talking about, the fact was that it was a blessing and a curse, really. The blessing part was that I could escape in my mind anytime I wanted to, pretty much anywhere I was. The cursed part was that I would often do it at school, and I spent a lot of time in the hallways. A lot of time in the hallways. Way, proportionally, probably more time in the hallway than I did in the actual classroom, but and it wasn't for the reasons that the teachers thought. I wasn't being disrespectful, I wasn't trying to be ignorant, I wasn't trying to be a showboat, I wasn't trying to be any of that. I just got really bored very quickly and had no filter. I said whatever came out of my mouth, and my body did whatever it wanted to do, getting the laughs was actually kind of a bonus. But I remember doing something in the class that I don't remember what it was, but I know it was hilarious. I thought it was so funny. And my teacher, Mrs. Gradish, yeah, not so much. So she sent me off to the principal's office. And our principal was a big, formidable guy. He was a scary fella. Mr. Cook was his name. And I, sitting in the all-too-soft principal's chair, sinking slowly, both of spirit and physically, into that chair. And he comes in and he sits down and he leans over the desk and he says, you have trouble paying attention. He goes, Tim, it's becoming a problem. You can't pay attention. You get bored easily. And I said, And I was terrified. I was so scared and really ashamed. I was ashamed that it got to the point where, you know, I was in the principal's office. Side note, one of many, 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 many times in the principal's office. But Mr. Cook leaned forward and he says, me too. I think you have something called attention deficit disorder. And that was it. I had an ally and I had a name for what it was, and it wasn't just me. And finally, I had somebody to see me for who I was instead of what I was. And Mr. Cook, I appreciate that very much. You took the first step into teaching me to love and embrace my diagnosis and who I am. So, Mr. Cook, lots of love.
That's a good story. It didn't happen yesterday, which is even more hopeful. It happened a few years ago, more than a few perhaps. To have somebody in a position such as a principal being able to relate to the student. How often does that happen? Not enough, from what I hear, but we can change that. Well, it's good to know. Thank you, Taz, for that story. And now let's hear from Wayne as he tells us his story.
Hi, my name's Wayne. I'm Wayne O'Brien from Toronto, Canada. I was diagnosed with ADHD in 2003. And for me, it was kind of a life-changing thing. Because I always knew, you know, since childhood that there's something different. Certainly to summarize what I learned in perhaps the years to follow, it's almost like there's five things kind of significant about ADHD. Only three of them are not good at all. But I find with treatment, meds, exercise, of those three, you can easily get rid of two of those three. And so for me, it really is, I find it almost great to have. But it was a poison for me to have had for the first 35 years of my life, because I did things that perhaps people with ADHD should not do. I was an accountant, did a lot of paperwork, and that certainly was not good for me. Fortunately, there was coping mechanisms, like always being on the go. I did a lot of travel, been to 30 countries, over 50, or all 50 states. And so for me, just allowing it, allowing to understand what it is makes a huge difference, and perhaps unlike any other major medical health issue, because it's so treatable through education courses itself, I've seen massive changes in a lot of people. It is still unfortunate there's so much ignorance amongst a lot of people in the psychiatric profession, as well as educators and just society at large, because of the stigma. But I'm just happy that those that do get the diagnosis or do get to understand that they themselves can have huge changes in their life, and that I am just forever grateful for discovering that I have ADHD too.
Well, it's clear that Wayne has done a lot with his life thus far, and it's also clear that he actually embraces his ADHD. A lot of us can't do that, but Wayne can. That's his story. And now let's hear from actor, comedian, advocate, Patrick McKenna.
Hi, I'm actor, comedian Patrick McKenna, and I also have ADHD. And my aha moment came, I think, when I first got my diagnosis, because then I had to recap my life and I realized how much shame and guilt comes with the diagnosis. I look back at a lot of the relationships, girlfriends, teachers, friends, policemen, car salesmen. I've had a lot of difficulty with relationships, basically because of my impulsivity, that my mind has a bit of an idea that I shouldn't say things, but my mouth has no clue of what that is about. So it just keeps saying things, even though teachers and others ask that I don't. So that kind of hit me really, really hard. And what came with that next was, well, then I owned it. I knew what it was. I put a name to it. So now I was taking responsibility and ownership for the choices I was making. And that felt empowering for a change. And I've never experienced that. And when my son was diagnosed, I was able to hold his hand and chaperone him through a lot of the bumps and bruises that I didn't know even existed when I was his age. So my takeaway from all this is, get diagnosed if you think you have it, or if you think you know somebody who does, because knowing is 9/10 of the law, they say. Well, that's possession, actually, isn't it? Well, possession of the idea. This is me rambling. Okay, anyway, get diagnosed.
Thank you, Patrick, for those words. And now, keeping it in the same vein, as far as the comedic side of things and the TV personality side, let's talk to our old friend, Rick Green. You know the guy, comedian, author, advocate, and a whole bunch of other things. Here's Rick's story.
Hi, I'm Rick Green. I'm a writer, producer, actor, director, and a friend of Patrick McKenna. Actually, I'm his only friend. But so I got diagnosed at age 47, and one of the big aha moments right away was, this is why I have written so much skit comedy, short sketches, and never finished a screenplay, or even really a half-hour sitcom. Then I learned about the hyperfocus, and I also realized that's probably why I've produced 700 episodes of radio and television, writing, acting, sometimes doing more. And I also eventually started to realize this is why I hate noisy parties or noisy restaurants or those sports bars with, you know, I'm trying to talk to my kids and there's these screens with sports I didn't even care about, darts, but I'm like this. And so now my ADHD strategy is when we go out with the kids, we go to Swiss Chalet. See, because it's quiet, it's old people. Hey, I'm old people. And I also remembered the one thing that is that this is why I hated the beach. I realized that the beach leads to overwhelm. This isn't just about managing focus. It's managing all of the input, and the sand on the beach would get everywhere and drive me crazy. It's also why I have trouble with small talk, because we're kind of short of certain chemicals that allow other people to pay attention and do boring things. And for me, small talk is painful. And yet, the flip side is when something's interesting, Zoom, there's that hyper-focus. This is actually, then I realized this is why I got higher marks at university in the difficult classes, quantum mechanics and relativity, because they were interesting, whereas the basic courses, chemistry 101, you know, I barely scraped by. There was no rush with it, which is why I can't stand horror movies. Actually, that's another realization, because then it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming me because I can't filter, and it just, there are certain movies I wish I had never, Clockwork Orange was, you know, is another. Anyway, that's what I realized. Oh, and I realized that's why I get so many of my great ideas when I'm on the road, because the movement wakes up the brain. Driving wakes up, or even just being a passenger with someone who's not a good driver, like Patrick, is, anyway, so that's it. It's also, you know what, another thing I realized is this is why I'm a better driver when the traffic is bad, because if it's just boring, regular traffic, my mind wanders. But, I mean, if we go to the go-kart track, I kill everybody. My son with ADHD, we just, not kill, but, you know, we're great. But we need my wife to get us there, because both of us will kind of zone out and there'll be trouble. Anyway, that's, oh, and you know what else? It's why I'm calmer on stage in front of 1,000 people than if I have to sit down and read the 3-page contract to appear on stage in front of 1,000 people. So anyway, and it's also why I talk so much. Now, I've really mastered that, but in the past, I would go on and on and on and on and on and on.
And a big thank you, Rick, for your story. And those are just some of the stories you can check out on ADHD Speaks. Just go to CADAC's website, cadac.ca, hit the link, and it'll get you to the YouTube account where all these videos are located. Now, I'm sure that many of you could identify with some of the stories, maybe more so than others. There might even be some of you thinking, hey, I'm going to tell my story. For that, I applaud you. Yes, I already put up my story on there too. So how about you? Why not go to that link on the CADAC website? Check it out, ADHD Speaks, and submit your story. Collectively, it'll help us all. Just one big, massive information source, ADHD Speaks.com. from the source, we people with ADHD. And that's it for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I hope it was a case of better late than never for you. I know it's a little bit shorter than usual, but good news. In a couple of days, we'll have a brand new edition of Club ADHD, the podcast, uploaded. And then a couple of days after that, we'll have yet another edition. So a triple whammy coming your way when it comes to Club ADHD, the podcast. Of course, Club ADHD, the podcast, the Facebook page, and the Twitter account supported by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. If you'd like to check out the links to all of the aspects of Club ADHD, or maybe go through the entire list of podcasts, they're all up there in various forms. I say forms, they're on iTunes, they're on this, they're on that, and they're on the website, the webpage that we have, clubadhd.ca. And when you're on that webpage, hey, why not drop me a line? I could use some support, some, come on, let's keep going, Russ. I really could. If you have some constructive criticism and you're not liking it, please don't say anything. I'm fragile. I'll try. And on that note, I ask you, wherever possible, please, please, please spread the word. What's the word? Well, the word is ADHD is real. Bye for now.